Shut up and sit down. Hello and welcome to episode 90 of Geek Grills, a podcast which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported mainly by our patrons. Please visit us today at patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-hosts, V-Jen.
Hi, hello.
And Linda.
Hello.
So, Grills, what have you been up to this geeky week?
Yeah, I've got like a full schedule these days. So, D&D, on Wednesday, I'm doing the Adventure League. It's pretty mellow. The adventures of Barbara Ann the Barbarian continues. She continues to terrify doors and also other objects that displease her. It's been a fun, it's really simple. It's straightforward. It's just something I've been doing on Wednesday nights. Well, see, I don't know if that one's going to continue or not, but I've been having a lot of fun. I also played Pathfinder. It was our second session in a game that's being run by a GM who's really has a lot of story built up. Like, he has been writing this for a long time, wrote it years ago, and basically converted it to the Pathfinder system so he can play it. And it's really, really fun. I'm playing a little windling, like a little fairy thing. It's kind of fun. And it's just, Pathfinder's complicated, but it's been really nice to be in a game where somebody takes the time to, like, have all the NPCs have different voices, and it's very, cool. Very involved. And then did a stream with the Drunk Kid, with Drunk Kids Gaming, basically Curly, on Thursdays. We'll probably do that again this Thursday. And we played video games. We had a pretty good time. And then I've been playing WoW again, trying to get caught up so I can check things out before the new expansion. And I've been doing a lot of Hearthstone, the solo mode, trying to finish up the Witchwood. I get stuck on the last boss over and over and over again, but I'll keep doing it. And I've been playing Magic, continuing to play Magic, the Gathering. So, hooray! That's also a thing. Played in my first standard tournament that I've played in since I've been playing again. And that was pretty fun. So, yeah. Literally the full spectrum of geekiness this week.
Right on. Sounds like fun. How about you, Linda?
Well, I've got my plushie update.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
So the first thing that I got is I've actually gotten a couple of commissions this past couple of weeks. Because, of course, right before the big convention is when all the commissions start coming in. So a couple things I made that I actually don't have with me because I've already gone to their new owners. It's a couple of big Yoshis with little extras on them to like represent their new owners. So like I made one purple Yoshi that had like a little cabbie hat, and I have a big red Yoshi that had little horns on it because that's what their new owners wanted. So they're apparently sitting together now with their new owners because the boy got one for his girlfriend, and then the girlfriend got one back for the boyfriend, so they would have a matching pair. Aww. It was cute. But the other commission I got is actually for a friend of my mom's who wanted cat butt coasters. So I have made 4 cat butt coasters. Little feet on them and little tails.
And little buttholes.
Little buttholes. And then I wanted to see if I could make it. I ended up making myself a little, I guess, mascot for my table. It's a little octopus. I gave her a little flower, just made out of the blanket yarn. So I'm gonna have a little sign that she can hold that says, you know, Mad Cat Miscellaneous, for when she's sitting on my table. If someone wants to buy her, maybe I'll, you know, say yes. But she's very cute. And then the big thing, come here, is I made a Death Star. That's the size of a beach ball.
Wow.
That is gigantic.
Size of my torso. Being someone in the head with this real good. That's the fluffs that I've gotten done. I think I'm going to try to get one more thing done before the big convention. If I get it done, I'll share it on next week's recording. It's a super special thing that I'll probably raffle away, because my plan is that I'm going to have a raffle each day, and all of the proceeds for the raffle are going to go towards Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and I'll have that as a separate like pouch of money that I'll then send off to them. I think I can do it. I was looking up stuff today. I can either send it in like physically, or I can deposit that and then send a payment out of my account. So either way, excellent. They will be getting money from me.
Yay.
And then like on a logistics side for like the convention, I bought some like booth display stuff. So I now have a head so I can display my hats and things. It's really funny. I sent a text message to my husband and I was like, okay, I need to swing by the store to pick up like bags and a head, so I'll be home a little late. And then I made this kind of stair step display out of soda can boxes.
And duct tape.
That works. Hey, that's awesome. So
I'm probably going to cover it with like a black cloth or something, but I just wanted something that was up a little higher. And then the other thing that I did this weekend is I went to Ren Fair. I was wearing costuming for a character that I'm going to be bringing into LARP eventually. And apparently my friends are really into the gothy look. I did not expect that, but I bought myself a really nifty pair of bat wings. They're adjustable. Ooh. They flare out. They're made of really cool fabric. I love them lots.
The blue scaling didn't really show in the pictures.
Yeah,
it just looked black. Those are gorgeous.
It looks blue because my computer screen is reflecting blue, okay. But they are a true are black.
All right.
Yeah, but they're shiny. I'm so happy.
Yeah, my husband, I showed him the picture, and he literally jaw dropped. He was just like,
I don't usually do the gothy look. That's a lot of my friends were like, oh my God. I was like, was it the black lipstick? I don't understand.
It was all working. Looked great. Let me see. I went to see David Byrne with my mom. That was pretty fantastic. Oh dear. Unexpected, unusual, even for David Byrne. I mean, he's weird. But I think they did everything on the new album, and then they did, you know, some classic Talking Heads stuff. So that was cool. But the whole band doesn't sit. It's like a marching band style, all choreographed. So instead of having like a drum set, there's like seven different drummers with all kinds of shit they're carrying around, and the guy with the keyboard and guitarists, and everybody did choreographed dancing and walking through the entire show. The stage lighting and dressing was pretty bare bones besides that, but it was just fabulous. What else? While mom was here, my sister sent her Mother's Day present here, and it was those copper cups for mules. And I got all the ingredients, and I made the Deadpool mule that I discovered in Vegas. And I was able to send the experimentation resulting recipe to Brian Ibbett, who was asking me for it on Facebook. So he was supposed to make them the other night. I don't know if he did. I haven't heard back, but he's, you know, reinstalling stuff on his computer. So that'll just have to wait. What else? That's it. Oh, Twitch is getting on my nerves. I don't know if you guys have this problem. All of a sudden, my email started filling up. And it was notifying me by email anytime anyone I was following. It turned my notifications on. So I went a couple days ago, and I shut them all off, and it started doing it again. So it was doing it in the Geek Grills email. It was doing it in my email. It just kept turning our notifications back on. So I have to go through again. I think I've got most of them now turned back off. But, yeah, that's aggravating.
Yeah, I haven't had that happen to me.
And I'm in contact with Discord. I started playing WoW, and that layover they've got.
The overlay. You just got to go in and fix it. We figured out how to turn it off.
Yeah, you did. That's nice. I know where the settings are.
We literally dealt with it 2 days ago, and like it was so funny because a bunch of us were like, "How is this Discord thing? How the hell do we get rid of this? It's insane."
And I got it to toggle finally, but the actually switching off the overlay does not work on my PC. And I've been in contact with Discord about it, and they're working on it. Remember, because the other issues with my cam, I'm helping them troubleshoot. I've got the canary build. So maybe in the main build, they've got that switch working, but I've got the overlay switched off and it's still not off. So that's a little weird because the canary should be a step ahead of that, but apparently it's not. And I can't install regular Discord unless I uninstall the canary build. And I kind of don't want to do that because I want to know when they fix my camera issue. So
I'm in the beta build too, but it's weird. That's super weird, but hopefully they'll fix it. That's a problem.
Hopefully.
No, but for a while, you literally responsive. Couldn't toggle it off, and it was really annoying, because we were like, okay, I literally can't play games, because all I do is see this stupid overlay on top of things I need to read.
I know, and I'm like the GM, and it was right over top of all my control panels, and I couldn't see who was on, and I couldn't accept people were trying to get the guild. I was like, yes, really, because I couldn't even move it. But I got it to toggle, so it's not really that big a deal anymore, so... I don't know. I'm in emails with that.
All right. I'm a derp, and I realized I didn't bring my microphone down from up where it was up. Sorry if I was really soft.
We can hear you.
Sorry.
if you're low in post, I'll turn you up. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
The magic of technology.
The magic of, I forgot to move a thing. Oops. Okay.
Okay.
Hooray!
Alright, so with that, it's time for the Geek Grapevine. So I heard about this story on NPR today, and I was totally excited and nerding out about it, and I learned a lot. So it'll be interesting if you want to go look at this article. There is a picture there of this pigment, but the first new blue pigment in 200 years had been discovered. And I didn't really realize the scientific details of actual pigments. Like, most of the colors you see in the world are just reflected or refracted light, and they don't actually exist as a physical thing that you can dye things with. And there's a lot of trouble with certain colors, especially blue and red, which are some of the favorite colors of people in the world, but it's hard to find materials to make them that are not toxic. So this scientist, in working on something completely else, came up with this beautiful, vibrant blue.
And it is pretty.
It is really pretty.
Basically, it's like crazy bright blue.
Yes. And he was telling the story about how, like, he had his intern or whatever, he's like, okay, put this and this and this, and one thing was black and one thing was white and one thing was yellow or whatever, and they put it at like 9,000 degrees overnight, and in the morning it was blue stuff. It's like, well, somebody must have made a mistake. 2300 degrees Fahrenheit, actually. And he thought it was a mistake, so he had to put it back. They had to do it again, and it kept coming out blue. So it ended up being like an actual new color, which is good, because cobalt, for instance, is actually cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of he isn't getting any money from it yet, any royalties, but there's a lot of companies really seeking after him for this color. And it kind of had his scientific career take this turn, because it just became such an amazing thing that and he got so much feedback that now he's like seeking to find a new red, because red is another difficult, problematic thing to find in the world of pigments. So there's my science nerdity for today.
Yeah, because
really interesting.
That is, most things that are red want to kill you. It's just
red and blue, it seems like. But red is like definitely the worst, right? Wasn't that the one that was like the food Valor? Coloring color? Oh,
yes.
Well,
number three.
There was the red pigment that they used to, I think it was Edwardian ladies. Like, you had, what was it, Coco Chanel, which is made of beetles, which was fine. But then you had Vermilion, which is made from, I think, mercury. which is not fine.
Right. Make you crazy. Actually, there were really interesting things in the audio piece. It's probably linked there because the link I've been putting in is from Here and Now. And he mentioned something about Van Gogh, and they were like, well, that's interesting because there's theories that that was what drove him mad, is a lot of the pigments and the coloring he was using being so toxic. And the other interesting thing I forgot is the thing he was trying to invent was a material for computer components.
Whoops.
Yeah, different vein.
He got a blue screen of death.
I mean, the mercury is probably bad for you, but at least it'll be really interesting at dinner parties. So that's like a plus.
No, thank you. I'd rather be a pasty white girl.
So who wants to talk about smart sneakers?
The smart sneakers. Yes, I found it interesting. Something that actually was posted today. Apparently, there are now little sneakers that do what your little, oh god, what are they even called? The
Fitbit Pebbles.
The Fitbits. Yeah, that's what I was going for. They do what your Fitbit does, and they track your walking and your daily steps. And let's see, who was it? It was a Chinese tech company, Xiaomi
and Amazfit.
And Amazfit.
Got
together and made this new thing. So I am interested to see, because I don't, it's like, how is there like a tiny screen on it? does it hook into your computer? And they're like $31.
I was just going to say, they're ridiculously cheap for something like that. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
I wonder what the, So I think one of the things that is concerning, you know, this was crowdfunded, so that's basically what it is. So I don't think it's actually out in production yet. It looks like it was just crowdfunded on the Chinese crowdfunding site.
They said they expect to begin shipping on the 17th of this month.
Oh, maybe I misread that.
Oh.
Maybe it was, okay, hold on. It was promoted. I got it. Okay.
I don't know, like,
digital chip, so yeah.
Yes, this has a chip and records.
You plug everything. Your shoes in?
I guess.
It's probably got a battery, and then.
Are we gonna plug in everything?
To run a chip doesn't take much.
Eventually,
I feel like everything I own is like battery operated now and has to be charged.
They don't. They do say they don't know if it'll be sold outside of Asia, because there's no mention of the Amazfit like. U.S. website, so I don't know, this may not be something that we get for a while in America, but it looked interesting to me.
I'm just waiting for the shoes on fire memes we're gonna get.
Yeah, I mean, but Fitbits don't. I mean, that's the one thing, is like, I'd worry about it so much, but like, honestly, people have been wearing Fitbits and whatnot, and they're so small that I don't know if they catch fire. I don't really think that would be too much of an issue. What I do think would be an issue is that you can't wash them. So if you ever wash your sneakers, like, that's out. Do I have to charge my tennis shoes now? Like, when I get home from the gym? Because that's weird.
If you use it with your Galaxy on a hoverboard, you're doomed. So, sad news today. Margot Kidder died on Mother's Day. So, We lost a Lois Lane. Definitely my first memory of Lois Lane. And I was just watching those movies last week. I don't know why they were playing the shit out of Superman, old Superman, with Christopher Reeve. And I tried to watch it again. I tried to, like, feel better about it. Those movies are so cheesy and bad, and everybody loves them, and I'm like, it's totally nostalgia, dude. They're just bad. And... So,
it's the bad nostalgia of it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
But I feel
good that, like, I so recently, you know, watched some of her work.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she passed, and I'm not going to go digging through it again and be sad. But there's nifty little things in this article. I didn't know she had worked with Gene Wilder, and I'd never seen that Quaxer Fortune has a cousin in the Bronx. I've never seen it, so I'm going to seek that out. Hopefully it's streaming somewhere, because I love me Gene Wilder. So I guess right. That's that.
Yeah, yeah. Moment yeah, of si- yeah. We had our, yeah. had our moment of silence.
There we go. So we're going to talk about our cord cutting experiences, about streaming services. I mean, this is cord cutting culture is a thing. More and more people, I think, are not subscribing to their regular cable services. Meme commercials about bundles and evil bundles and your annoying neighbors trying to get you to bundle like it's a cult. So, where do we want to start? I think starting with devices is a good idea. I don't know what experience you guys have. When we cut the cord some years ago, we were able to get AT&T internet a la carte at my home. I mean, sort of a la carte. It came with a landline, but not a bunch of other crap. We didn't have to buy U-verse at the time. And we got a Roku. And doing that, even subscribing to everything to get all of our TV, we were saving a bunch of money. Netflix we already had, so it was like that was just a wash for the money. Amazon Prime had really only started having a lot of original content, but again, that was a wash. I already had Prime. So Crunchyroll, we already had, so that was a wash. None of these were even going to add to our bill. We bought the Roku, and then we subscribed to a lot of things. There are channels on there I can't get anymore that I kind of miss through Sling TV. Because Sling TV was an add-on that I couldn't go out without my Food Network. I don't watch as much of it now as I used to, but I still watch a lot of HGTV. And those two things alone, it was like History Channel, Food Network, and HGTV are all available along with a whole lot of other stuff on Sling. And Sling was $20 a month. And with how much we were saving, not being subscribed to the Time Warner bundle, it was a no-brainer, and we could also get that, and it covered everything we needed except AMC for Walking Dead, and, you know, it was like, okay, we'll just be a season behind, and we made that call, and we were really happy with it until it just turned out that AT&T, their internet sucks it here badly. It would just, the speed wasn't what was promised, it never was, they kept trying to lie or fix it and it wouldn't work. And then it would just randomly stop sometimes. Just go down, go back up, go down, go back. And it seemed that around 5 and around 9 and just no. We just couldn't stand it anymore. And my husband works from home primarily, so he's a software developer with secure connections and we couldn't rely on that. And we did have to go back to now it's Spectrum. So now we're back up paying about $180 a month to get good speed internet and a phone we don't really want or need and a whole lot of channels we don't watch. And still paying for Netflix, Amazon, and Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I didn't do the unplugging thing until I moved in with Matthew. Because I was just, you know, my parents had cable, they paid for it, I didn't think much of it, moved in with him, and then all he had was the PlayStation and the Netflix account. I had my own Netflix account at that point, so we kept our separate Netflix accounts until we were kind of, like, a couple months into living together, which is kind of a weird thing, but, like, once we figured out that, yeah, we can do this living together. I think this is going to probably be a permanent thing. We kind of merged our Netflix accounts. Like, I got rid of mine and just started watching on his. We didn't, really think about getting any kind of, like, cable channels until, like, a couple of years ago. And even then, we got, like, the most basic of basic cable things just so we could have just, like, the basics. I'm saying basic a lot in that. But, like, he gets HBO Go on the PlayStation now. So, we're, like, we don't really need it. We don't really use it. I think the only reason we got it was because it came with the internet.
Yeah, my sister got a Fire Stick. They had a fire sale on Fire Sticks recently. And she shares my Prime. And so I get all these email alerts about her downloading a bunch of stuff. And I don't even... She's not using their TV service. But the Fire Stick, I guess they're using with... to stream to their devices.
Yeah, because you can put a lot... You can put everything on your phone now.
So
Netflix, the YouTube Red, all that stuff.
Now, for people who don't have smart TVs, I don't know about the Amazon Fire interface, but because I haven't used that one. But the Roku interface is really, really great, and I miss it. I have a smart TV downstairs, and I've got the Xbox, and I can use either of those to use my Netflix or my Amazon and access all of those things. But I find myself missing the Roku, and I like the interface a lot. It was totally worth it. I just stuck it on the TV upstairs, and I still use it up there because that TV isn't smart. And being able to search for your program and it telling you where the hell it is and prioritizing it by where you have to pay and where you don't is so much friendlier than I can do on the TV or the Xbox.
So I own Roku, Fire Stick, Chromecast. I did have a Sling Box for a while. I have a PlayStation, so I tried PlayStation View. I tried YouTube Red, and I've done it just straight up through my smart TV through direct services. So I really run the gamut on all of the streaming services. And I will say that what is most frustrating is when usually the issue is the particular content provider's interface or not creating a good interface to work with the device that you're wanting to use. The Amazon Fire Stick is great, except for it's limited because they don't want to share stuff with other it's just like Apple TV. You can't get some of the things that you want on Apple TV on the other side. Or like for a while, for whatever reason, my smart TV, my Samsung smart TV cannot run HBO Go. So when I was getting HBO through another service, it's HBO Go. When you get HBO on its own directly through HBO, it's HBO Now. Now, HBO Now has an app that works on my smart TV. HBO Go does not. So I literally had to cancel my service on one side to then be able to get new HBO service on a different one so I could continue to watch Game of Thrones. And I'm like, this is dumb.
We had that problem, too, where the HBO Go wouldn't work on our TV, like through the PlayStation. Now it does. For some reason, I am happy they have managed to fix it. I don't know the reason why.
Well, one of the things, too, is that Starz doesn't even have an app for PlayStation. So I bought a PS4. I used PS4 so I could play Monster Hunter, right? And so that gave me this PS4, and I was like, oh, I have Starz because I had, like, a free trial, and I was trying to do it through my Amazon, where I pay for Starz through my Amazon, which is another thing we should talk about too, like real quick, just a quick aside. You used to have to buy those services either through cable or then they made them standalone. You have the option a lot of times to buy Starz or HBO or Showtime or some of those other premium channels through Hulu and Amazon. But what's interesting is that I'm with Cox Cable for my internet, and they announced that pretty soon you'll be able to buy that right from your or like you'll be able to buy Netflix through your box.
Yeah.
I'm going to be interested to find out how many more of those relationships are going to come up. But back to the PlayStation View, I tried the PlayStation View service. I found like it was overpriced for what I was using. And I just was being nickel and dime to death on these streaming services. So what I finally did, I tried to just watch Starz. So I ordered Starz through Amazon, and I was like, great, I can watch it on my computer, I can watch it on my TV through my Amazon, through the Amazon interface or the Amazon app. And then I realized Starz doesn't have an app for PlayStation.
Oh no.
I'm sorry. So everybody with the PS4 that has Starz literally cannot get this. And I was like, this must be a mistake. So then I went to a bunch of things, and they were like, yeah, no, we don't have an app for that. And I'm like, okay, so I literally had to cancel my standalone Starz to get it through Amazon so that I could then use the Amazon app to be able to access it. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I need a flowchart to figure out how I can access my crap.
They don't play well together all the time.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's still a new world and like trying to figure it out. I mean, we see these new services, like every network is trying to get on board with this now, right? Where you're going to have to pay for their, I mean, you know, NBC, right? CBS, Disney is trying to do it.
CBS All Access, yeah.
Yeah.
That one, of course, like we talked about last week, the only reason that one mattered was because of Star Trek. So it's like without that, but then at the same time, that leads me to why I always want AMC. I like AMC shows. And same thing, I need to get VH1 to get RuPaul's Drag Race. So for the first time, instead of going through all the hoopla of reactivating cable service or reactivating it for that time so I could watch it, this is the first year I've literally just bought season passes on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I've never been happier.
I was about to say, like, I know for a while, at least the previous it wasn't the most recent season, but like a lot of the previous seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race were on Amazon Prime for free.
Yeah, but right now I need to know what's going on right now because like, there's some real drama right now.
Course,
like this week, the Vixen got a little crazy. No,
of course you can buy the most recent. You can buy the most recent episodes for a few dollars more.
I played $30 a season, but I think about that's over several months of me not paying for cable service, which would be an extra $25 a month. I pay $30 twice a year for shows that I can't access by any other means.
And if you,
I don't know, I think I at mean, the end of the day, it's cheaper.
If you buy them and not rent them, you then own them for
as long as Amazon exists. Yeah. As long as Jeff Bezos continues to provide us with that. But I want to mention that about Amazon. Did everybody notice that the Amazon Prime price went up to $119 a year for a regular, and the student is going up another $10, $20 a year as well? So that's happening, and that's kind of interesting because I feel like that makes it closer to the $10 a month that like Netflix is at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was looking at it, and mine isn't going to change until, like, you know, I think I just got the email the other day. I got a long time at the price I'm at because of when it'll renew. I think February next year or something. But I'm going to be okay with that. I mean, Amazon has been having more and more content I'm using. I mean, I was paying for Prime and not really getting anywhere near the original content television, and I'm definitely using it more. I mean, the free shipping on Prime stuff has been, I get my money's worth out of just that, I think.
That's funny you mentioned that because I used to think that Amazon was the weak point. And I found in the last couple months that Hulu has actually been the weak point for me. I had actually canceled my Hulu service, and it wasn't until I found out that because I have a student account on Spotify, I can pay $3 less a month for Spotify. Pro tip, if you're a student, you can get Spotify student, and you get Spotify and Hulu for $4.99 a month. You get them both, and it's the one where you have to watch commercials on Hulu, so you don't get the commercial free. But I have Hulu again, but that's the only reason I have it is because it's free. Otherwise, there's really no value to me to having Hulu. I feel like their originals, I mean, other than Handmaid's Tale, I don't think they really have had enough content to justify their $7.99 a month. Or $11.99 a month if you want to not watch commercials. So, and that used to be my feeling on Amazon. So it's interesting.
Especially when you compare that to, say, Netflix, which they're putting out new stuff like bi-monthly almost, it feels like. It's probably less than that, but.
Yeah.
They're
it's
what?
It's true, though. They're loaded. They have a lot of money.
Yeah.
They were in the game early. They've got the capital to do it. And unfortunately, that puts a lot of the other streaming services a step behind. They did it right. They did it well. They give us the things that we ask for. I think whenever people are like, oh, I want to be able to watch this whenever I want, like, let me download it. They were the first ones to say, okay, fine, you can download it. You have to re-up that to make sure you have a current subscription, and only some products let you actually download. But I love downloading four or five episodes of a show and then going on vacation and knowing that I have that to watch.
And networks getting in late are doing a lot of things wrong. I think they should be partnering with things like Sling, like Netflix, like Amazon, who already have the structure, they already have the interfaces we're used to, and partner up with them instead of trying to recreate the wheel. They've been screwing it up for a long time, and I don't remember, I think it might have been HBO, it was Game of Thrones, I don't know. There was one show we just got so infuriated that, you know, yo-ho-ho, because we were trying to subscribe to the show. right? And we missed the first couple. We missed the first three, and we wanted to watch the rest of the season. We knew we did. But you can only watch the last, you know, buy the last, every other one from ones you missed, and then you could buy them in bundles going forward. It was like the most screwed up shit, trying to just buy it on iTunes. You couldn't get all the episodes to go back to the beginning and get the rest. You could start where you were and get the rest, but to go back, you could only buy individual episodes or every other one. It was just so bad. Like, really? You're going to force me because I didn't start at the premiere. When I find a show I like that I'm trying to buy from you, not give me access. It was so fucked up.
And some of the problems, too, that people don't realize is that a lot of these content providers do put limitations and the licenses, and there's a lot of really big arguments and debates. And this comes back down to one of the things that people didn't understand about fundamentally why cable companies charge you $1 million, even though you only watch one or two channels. That's because they have to, whether or not you are watching NFL or ESPN, to watch the NFL, ESPN is charging the cable company, you know, this extraordinary fee just to be able to broadcast it based on the number of potential viewers, not necessarily based on how many people are viewing. And it's a really complicated thing. And I feel like what's happening is that similar framework is now going to start to happen with the streaming services. And I mean, we talked about the numbers here. I mean, you can't have all these services. So you have to figure out which one works best for your system, which one works best based on the number of viewers that you have in your household. And then from there, it's really just a matter of what do you need to watch at live? Like you said, Ember, like waiting. Maybe there's shows that you don't mind waiting. And I've gotten to the point on a few shows like that. But then there's other shows where I'm like, no, I need to be current. And Walking Dead and RuPaul's Drag Race, Game of Thrones, those are that for me.
I am happy that, like, specifically YouTube Red has, like, a family plan. Like, I think just itself for one person is something like...
It's $40 a month. No.
No, oh, it's
can
not.
Can you guys explain Red to me? I don't get it.
I don't know what Red you're using, Jen, but Matthew and I pay $15 a month for YouTube Red for both of us.
To get not to get the Google Play thing, but to actually have the channels.
YouTube Red, yeah.
What?
We only pay $15. Okay, so YouTube, obviously, if you've heard of the adpocalypse, the basic kind of YouTube, but by itself, it has a bunch of ads now. Whenever you watch people,
oh, and in the middle of them,
right in the middle of them, yeah. So you can get a service called YouTube Red, where you're paying per month, but you get no ads.
And that means you don't get ads on the Google Music either, Google Play anymore.
Yeah. And the other thing that it does is it gives you access to original content. There's some shows, there's a couple of movies, there's things that some big YouTubers have done that are all on Red that you can't get on regular YouTube.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know YouTube
what
was
I'm
making
looking
original
at is,
content.
It's not just that. What I'm talking about is where you can actually use YouTube Red basically as like a cable service now.
We don't use that. So
okay,
I
that's
don't...
the one that's $40 a month.
I was a little confused. I was like, Oh,
yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that does make a difference. The YouTube originals you can access with just YouTube Red, that $15 a month, but to actually get like channels that would be more of the equivalent of like a cable service or something
like
PlayStation
a Sling
View.
Type
I'll be honest, PlayStation View was probably my more favorite, but the hard part is like getting a channel like VH1, Viacom, it's they're like the worst. They make it so hard to like access their shit, and it's like it's so frustrating that because it's not the provider's fault. It's these distributors of the content that are making it very, very difficult. So price-wise, Sling TV, I know you can get service for as low as like $20 a month, and that's what my mom does. She loves Sling TV. She likes it because she gets all of her stuff. I know you can get, if you are into anime, you can get Crunchyroll. That's another $7 a month, or you can go the route, well, then of course, if you want Netflix originals, you got to do $11 a month there. Amazon is now $119 a year. PlayStation View is about $40 a month, or... you know, again, that would be more like a Sling or a PlayStation View subscription. All those are kind of, I would bundle those together. And then, yeah, and then HBO Now, that's $7.99, Starz, $7.99, Sling Showtime, $7.99. It's now. Like, Jesus.
Sling has AMC now. They didn't have that when I had them.
Yeah, they did not. And that was one of the things where AMC was like, oh, shit, maybe we should just start making it easier for people to get access to the crap that we make.
Yeah, they now have everything. Like, as soon as I can get a la carte fucking internet, I am all over. I'll go back to that. Because Sling filled in any of the gaps cable had for me. AMC, HGTV, BBC America, Cartoon Network, Food Network. What the hell else? I don't need any. Oh, and the other ESPNs, like 2 and 3, and that's where, you know, I get esports sometimes. So,
and then add on, and then you start adding on these studio-specific streaming services that are coming up, like Disney and DC and all that stuff. It's like, I'll just watch the ones that I have on DVD.
Well, see, that's exactly it. Like, I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, you know what? I just want to own it in some cases, and I'm okay. One of my problems was I was really afraid to own things digitally because, like, for example, if I bought something on Xbox, I was like, well, great. I'm never going to see that again. Like, what if I don't have my Xbox anymore? And I have the exact situation right now of I own videos on Xbox. I don't own an Xbox anymore. So that was my big concern. Mm. But now with how wonderfully pervasive Amazon is, I can do that. So I buy them through Amazon. I feel a lot better about, at least if I have it on Amazon, that's less likely, crosses fingers, knock on wood, that like it won't go away. Now, my biggest issue has actually been the reason that I had to spend about 2.5 hours this week having an argument with my cable company that I love a lot, that I used to work for, that I have referred many people to, that I've recommended widely, that I actually choose my service. I like choose where I live in a city based on the service area of this cable company providing it. So they pulled the trigger in February to offer to now instill the data caps on internet. And I'm already over a terabyte. So it's a terabyte a month. And I'm over, so now I have the option of paying an extra $30 to have 500 more gigs, or I can pay another $50 and have unlimited and just not worry about it. So that's no big deal. You know, I only pay $125 a month for my internet as it is. Let's make it even better. But you know, it's that kind of a thing where now I'm like, shit, I get that they're trying to get their money elsewhere, and they probably have a lot of internet-only clients, but my issue with this is it's not water. There's not an amount of like they're packets.
Right.
It's data. Mm-hmm. It's not an actual quantifiable utility. It's not like the kilojoules of energy that I'm using, like my electric company, but they're trying to treat it in a very similar way. And I'm like, this is a real problem for me. And it's going to make my life as a cord cutter a lot tougher, because now I have to add an extra $30 right off the top, which means I literally had to sit down this month and go, well, what streaming services am I not going to continue with? Because now I have to start making that having that conversation because the budget's gone.
Yeah, I think...
And that's going to keep happening until the laws catch up with the technology, because it's a problem that a lot of people are having nowadays. Is the laws that we have in place right now for technology, for the way that it's growing, they're not growing fast enough with it. So it's the same thing that happened in the Industrial Revolution. It's just happening the digital scale now. it's happening on the digital scale now, and it's happening much faster.
I mean, we didn't know how to like deal with laws of like people like driving across streets. You know, people were on horses. You didn't have to worry about speed limits. Like,
oh man, if you want to have a heart attack, you should look up. There is a video that somebody like was able to take from an old, like back in like 1910, somebody put an actual like film camera on the front of a San Franciscan streetcar.
Probably, yeah.
And it there's just like 10 minutes of it going down the street. And I was watching this on, I think it's on YouTube. And I was just watching the cars crossing, like, people still with horse-drawn carts, people walking in front of cars, in front of the tram, and I'm like, what is going on?
you're literally gonna die. Also, the Rice-A-Roni like jingle came on the moment you said it, and I'm like, Jen, you are from Northern California, and this is like where your brain goes all the time. But no, that's terrifying. I mean, my grandmother used to talk about my great grandfather used to like own a lot of crazy, like, especially a side comment, but he used to own a lot of like really crazy cars. Like, he did not go and buy the Model T like everybody else did. He went and like bought the so and so's whatever that obviously didn't become the Model T, like the car that everybody bought. So she would tell stories about like the first time she rode in the car, and it was like the car could not have gone more than 35 miles an hour, but it was terrifying because there was like the roads weren't built for that. Like, that's terrifying.
So, the roads weren't built for it. And it, in the same video, you see kids grabbing onto the back of cars and just hitching a ride.
Oh my God. Yeah, you know what? So I have a few resources that I'm going to try to make sure we end up in the show notes on, kind of like some just some rundowns on the streaming services, because it is, it's a jungle, man. It is. It used to be a lot more straightforward. It used to be like, okay, I want this, so I go to that. I want this, I go to that. I had to pretty much do hours of research to figure out where I could actually get VH1, and I paid for a service and got a free trial. Turns out they don't actually have VH1. So it's those kind of situations.
And now you can really end up duplicating.
Yeah, it's, you don't know the flow charts, and you don't know who plays well with others, and it's just...
And there are some resources that other people who are hardcore nerds who spend a lot more time on that thing that we can help provide, and definitely we'll get some of those into our links for sure.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I'm not going to... I think it's worth doing. I would totally cut the cord tomorrow if I could get the internet speed, you know, I need. Somebody ran fiber optic down my street. Someday someone's going to tell me who the fuck it was. And then I will go back, because I know I had already done the math and I was already saving money. And I mean, I don't watch a lot, but, and then the things that I was already watching, those content providers are getting better and better. The people like Netflix and Amazon who got in earlier and are just blazing trails. If you have some opinions and some input, always feel free to email us at geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. And you can also tweet us at geekgrills. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating coming up?
Deadpool 2. I'm going to watch it probably a third time. So, Deadpool 2. I'm really excited about it. Obviously, I'm a huge Deadpool fan. Anybody that knows me knows this. I could sit here and grab one of the 14 different things within arm's reach that are Deadpool-related. So I'm very, very excited. Other than Infinity War, this is like, this year is going to be insane for me. Like, I don't know how to, there's too much nerd hype. it's out of control now. Like, Battle for Azeroth, I'm so excited about, because like, it's a WoW expansion I care about. That's coming in a few months. So I'm excited to actually get in, on that note, to get in and play some more WoW. I've been really having a good time with the catch-up mechanics and how smooth it's been, where I'm still getting the story and I'm still having the experience, but I don't feel like I'm a million years behind. I can still actually catch up. I feel like Blizzard's finally struck that balance between catch-up mechanics to make it not feel like a grind if you are super behind, but then also still making you feel like you're still enjoying the story and you're not being punished for not doing it at content or at release content, basically. The other thing I'm looking forward to is definitely playing more Pathfinder again. The GM is really great, and we've been having a lot of fun with the characters, and we're starting to get development, and there's like party dynamics now, so that's going to continue to get really fun. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then I'm pay attention to the Twitch channel, 6 o'clock PST, 6 PM Pacific, 9 PM Eastern, I guess. Another night of streaming with Drunk Kids Gaming. So I'll definitely be, you can go check out my YouTube, my Twitch channel rather, the Jen Plays, and I'll be doing that on Thursday. So we're going to try to make that more of a regular thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that again too.
Cool. How about you, Linda?
Well, I have something every single night until MomoCon is over for the next coming 2 weeks. Like, tomorrow, I'm going to be streaming to finish up the Charizard that I'm working on. Wednesday, I've got a character creation like workshop that we're doing because a friend of mine is going to start recording a Trinity game, an Aeon Trinity game with the new rules. So we're going to be making characters for that. Thursday, I have a concert. Friday, I have a concert. And then after that concert, I'm going to drive up to Tennessee for a LARP for Saturday and Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, I've got streaming with you guys again. Tuesday is going to be, I might take Tuesday off, but I was thinking about streaming on Tuesday night. Wednesday is load in for MomoCon, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is MomoCon. And then my mom is like, hey, do you want to go have a girls' day on Memorial Day? Like, let's go to the get a massage and have a pet manicurist. And I'm like, yes, please. So that's going to be
the
shining beacon at the end of my busy 2 weeks.
Goodness gracious. And you know what? You should look at your route. Maybe you can stop by and visit on your way to Tennessee. So, what else? Deadpool 2. Me too. So excited. I'm gonna try and resist seeing it twice. I saw Avengers twice, but I don't do that a lot. And I feel like Deadpool might be okay on the TV for the second and third and fourth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. It's not going to be, like, earth-shattering, like, crazy.
It's not
going
to be like, or, you know, Wakanda. So... and hopefully my AC repairs stop costing me money. It feels hot in here right now, which sucks. I paid $100 the other day. Bubba came out and replaced a part, and then Bubba came out again today because it just... This one fan wasn't working, and then the other one wasn't working, and turns out, I guess we had a Freon leak, and he put 2 pounds of Freon in, and that's about $100 a pound, but Bubba's awesome and didn't charge me for the call because it's still not fixed. But if it's still not working right, I have to cut down my beautiful camellia tree and take the whole damn thing apart, and I don't know. The unit's like probably about 20 years old or more, so it's unfortunately time to die, and this sucks. And it's, of course, happening because, you know, it's fucking 90 here the last few days. It's a bit brutal. So, yeah. Lots of sweating. Maybe I should go to the gym.
It's going to be an exciting time.
There's air conditioning and showers there. Then I'll use it for gym motivation.
It's hot, hot, hot.
So remember, you can always come watch us live. We record live. We're back to Monday nights. 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern time at twitch.tv/geekgrills. Join the chat. Have fun. Great people in there. Thanks for coming tonight. And you get to do things, fun things like suggest show titles. If you're listening to our podcast, you see our funny, silly titles, and they come from our live viewers sometimes now because of Showbot. Which is fantastic.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank the crowd that we have tonight. This has been one of the biggest crowds that we've had live, and that's really exciting to see y'all. And
thanks, guys.
Yeah, keep coming live and then be involved, and you can comment on the conversation and make me think about things that I want to talk about. And so I just want to remind everybody, too, that we are completely wholly supported by our Twitch channel and also our Patreon. We don't do any ads of any kind at this point, and we'd like to continue to keep it that way. So in the meantime... we ask for your support. You can become a patron at patreon.com/grills. As usual, I want to thank all of our patrons. You guys are awesome. You guys keep all of the services running and make it so that we can continue to make this show. And also just a shout out to Kyle Reynolds. So he's a patron of ours, and he got his swag bag, and he did send us a message on Patreon. He says, hi there, I just caught up on the podcast and heard you sent me a message, but I got a bag yesterday, so I see you got my info. Thanks for the swag bag. I will sticker my PC with them and keep up the good work. So yeah, you become a patron, and that's what the swag bag is. We send you fun, nerdy things. So yeah, go check that out, patreon.com/grills.
And if you want to leave us a review on whatever your podcast catcher is, those are free for you to do, and they really help us out because they help people find the podcast. They gave us a better standing. I don't know. It works somehow. You can also find us on our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Geek Grills, and you can tweet us there and talk to us and chat at us. We like to be chatty.
It's true.
We do. So where can we find you Grills on the interwebs?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming in specific on the Glitter Dice podcast that comes out on the first of the month, and then our Glitter Dice Plays comes out on the 15th, so I think it's the last episode of our Monster Hearts playthrough is coming out tomorrow, so that'll be fun on the 15th. You can find me here on Twitch under the name TrueNoob, TRUN00B. That's where I do my crafty streams. And also, I sometimes play games. Badly.
I just realized I wasn't muted. I'm sorry. I was typing to one of my favorite people on the internet, Jay, for being so generous and throwing bits at us. And I'm sorry.
Yay!
I
had to type
in. Yay!
Sorry! I can be found at The Gen Says on Twitter and streaming at twitch.tv/TheGenPlays. And all things I do, you can find at TheGenSays.com because I own it.
And I can be reached at 9of12 on Twitter and Twitch. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.